Amen. You hear all that noise back there? Isn't that beautiful? Amen. It's our present. Amen. Yes, I second what Aaron said. So very blessed to have the noise of children in the house. Amen. And I know sometimes it gets noisy and it gets busy and it gets fidgety. And we have a nursery and you can step out with them. And we have multi-purpose room and all of that. But thank God someone tolerated my mom and dad with 7 kids growing up. My grandmother said, if you bring them, I'll bring a bag of candy. And I'll help you with them. And a little Nazarene church with a bag of candy and 6 kids, my mom gave her heart to Jesus. So it literally has changed the course of our history. The path that we were heading on was not a good one. My dad was an alcoholic, and both my parents grew up in a lot of abuse, a lot of alcohol, and those sort of things, but God stepped into the middle of that. Aren't you thankful for the altar that you just sung about? How many remember the altar, your encounter with the altar? And it may not have been a brass one. It may have been a rocking chair. It may have been in your car. It might have been in your deer stand. Might have been on a boat. Might have been in your car driving down the road. But somewhere along the line, you had an encounter with Jesus. Now, I just want to tell you, when you encounter Jesus, he will change your life. He will change your family. He will change your marriage. He will change your finances. He will change everything that you submit or surrender to him. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. When we submit it to him and we surrender to him and say, Lord, I give you my all. I lay it on the altar and I leave it there. How many know we just buried a lot of it in baptism? Amen. And the only way that we resurrect that is we dig up that old man. How many know you are not just a sinner saved by grace? You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new in him. You say, but Pastor Lisa, I still have this weakness or that weakness. How many know that's just the immature new man learning to operate in the principles of the kingdom? And I want to tell you, there are some principles of the kingdom that when we trust God and let him into every area of our life, he will bring the source of joy and hope and peace that the world is looking for. Amen? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. And so I want to talk to you this morning a little bit, just something that kind of struck me. Actually, somebody I think in conference shared this, and this is not what they were saying, but it's what it said to me. And so I'm going to share a little bit about it. How many know what we've been talking about the last few weeks in service? Anybody remember? Oh, help us, Jesus. Say it again. Next level. Amen. We've been talking about next level. Next level thinking. Next level serving. Next level giving. Next level, you know, going from, if we want to go higher, make no mistakes, I believe that the fullness of God, the Godhead, the fullness of God dwelleth in us bodily. Amen. That we are a new creation, and all that God has is ours. Amen. So I'm not necessarily waiting on the next revival or the next, you know, move per se, but I'm talking about next level thinking, next level living, where we say, I still have dreams, hopes, aspirations, and there's still more that I desire in this life. Is there anybody in the room with me today that can say that too? Man, I'm not just going to stay where I'm at, but there's always greater. There's always bigger. There's always more and better. And so our desire, but how many know next level change has to come with a next level change of heart and change of mind first? Do you believe that? Before you're ever going to change your circumstances, before you're ever going to change your finances, before you're ever going to change your health, you have to change your mind and change your heart. How many know God's in the business of changing hearts?
Yeah.
Amen? And I believe if we have a heart change, and when we have when God begins to deal in our heart and begins to change our heart, how many believe that that'll change your mind? That was weak. How many believe that when God begins to change your heart, that he will change also your mind? How many can say, I don't think like I used to think? Amen. Because he's called me to a higher level of thinking. He's called me to a higher level. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a new creation. I am anointed. I am appointed. I am purposed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the salt of the earth. I'm a city set on hill. I am a disciple of Christ. Come on, somebody. That's who your identity is in Christ today. Do you believe that? And when we begin to believe that, we start living on a level that says, nah, not going there. I'm not living there. I'm living here. The scripture says, set your mind on things above. How many know that's next level? Set your mind on things above. How many know that you sometimes have to talk to yourself? Anybody in here want to admit that you talk to yourself? Okay, I'm in the right church this morning. I'm in the right place. I literally have said, Lisa, you know better. Now, y'all probably never said, Lisa, you know better, but hopefully you said it to yourself, right? Terry will say it to me all the time, Lisa. But how many know, I've gotten myself in a funk before. Is that an okay word? I've gotten myself in a funk before, and I've had to say to myself, Lisa, you know better, right? And there's a whole lot of things that can play into emotions and our mindsets and things like that. How many know you don't have to be in a room very long at all where people are talking discouragement until the whole room is discouraged? Amen. Do you know, though, that that works the opposite as well? If you want to be happy, you need to hang out with some happy people. If you want to be challenged, you got to hang out with some people that will challenge you out of where you are, challenge you to some next level things. How many know I need some people to challenge me to come up to a higher level of living and not just live in the realm of where I'm at? I want to be challenged. Anybody in here want to be challenged? Because I know that there's potential. I know that there's purpose. I know that there's ability, and I know that there's more. And so I don't necessarily just want to hang out with people who are settling for less. I want to hang out with somebody that says, come on, I'm going to pull the good out of you. I'm going to pull the anointing out of you. I'm going to pull purpose out of you. I'm going to pull something out of you. I want you to challenge me, right? And so the words, I want to talk about the power of the words that we speak. How many know even in this environment that we're in right now in the next coming months, how many know it is easy to take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on earthly circumstances? But the word declares to us that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. How many in here can shout and say, amen, God is still in control? Amen. Amen. And that my hope and trust is in him. Hallelujah. And so, I think about the scripture even where Elijah is being fed by the raven. Y'all know that scripture, right? And so he's being fed. Remember, we're talking about next level, right? Next level thinking. And he's being fed by the raven. And how many know, as mighty as that was, God had something better in mind for Elijah than bird food. Right? Because eventually the brook dries up and the raven flies away. And God begins to speak and said, now I want you to move on to what's next. I want you to go to the house of a widow woman because I have prepared her to sustain thee. Now I love that, right? Elijah knows that. Going into the circumstance, you know who doesn't know that? The widow woman. She doesn't even know she's been prepared to sustain the man of God when he gets to her house. And he comes to the house and he goes in and he says to her, he says, bring me a little bit of water in a drought, in a time of famine that he pronounced, right? The brook's already dried up. He says, bring me a little bit of water. And when she goes to get the water, he says to her, and by the way, make me a cake. Make me, another translation says, make me a small biscuit. How many know God loves biscuits? Man cannot live by bread alone, but women can. Thank you, Jesus. And so he goes to get this little cake or this whatever it is. I mean, and she goes to get the water. And he says, and while you're at it, bring me a little cake. And she stops and she says, man of God, you do know there's a drought in the land, right? In her heart, that's what she's saying. But she looks at him and she said, man of God, I have a little bit of meal and I have a little bit of oil. And I was going to gather some sticks and I was going to cook this for me and my son. And then we were going to die. I don't know about you, but I know people living in the mindset that says, I've got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal and it's all I got and I'm about to check out. And the man of God says to her, oh no, we're going to the next level, right? I want you to bring me a cake and bring me oil. And you know, I've said this here many times to our folks, I will bring you my biscuit, but it's going to be a challenge for me to bring you my son's biscuit. Come on, somebody, let's be real in here. I better know God is speaking if you want my little bit of cake and my little bit of oil. And by faith, I mean, there's something about this. What a woman has been prepared that she says, I'm going to obey God. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, and I have not seen the end from the beginning, but I'm going to bring what the man of God, I'm going to do what God has required of me, and when I do... How many know the man of God quit eating bird food and he started eating oil and cakes from the barrel? And so did her house. And the scripture said that her barrel did not go empty nor her cruse run out until God sent rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, that is next level thinking. He filled her barrel and he filled her cruse because she was obedient to God. We look at circumstances and we say, well, this could never happen. That could never happen because, you know, we're in a drought, we're in a famine, you know, we're in crisis and all of this is going on. Come on, I know the God of bread and oil. I know the God who gives back in abundance. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many are ready for some running over provision? Not just in the natural. I'm ready for some running over provision, even in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because I believe what God does, especially under old covenant, old order, he cleans out everything that was in the barrel first. I'm going to say that again because I think you were thinking. He cleans out everything that was in the barrel and the oil vessel first because he takes the old out and he brings in the new. How many knew he didn't mix in with her old stuff, new wine or new oil, but he brought the freshness of the Holy Spirit to her house. And as we talked about the widow, the Shunammite before, he brought it to the next generation. Her son began to eat from the barrel that she gave to the man of God. I want to tell you, there is next generation provision. And they don't see things like we do. They don't think like we do. It is a different generation and a different mindset. But how many can say that the hand of the Lord is upon this generation? Amen, to do great and mighty things. Amen. So I want to talk about this morning the power. Oh, and you guys are in trouble because the clock doesn't work back there. It's still only 25 to 8. I got hours to preach this morning. The clock needs a battery. First one that gets tired this morning and their belly's growling, change the battery in the clock, okay? And then we'll know. Amen. I have a time on my iPad, but I don't know if I can see it or not, so. But I want to talk about, you got me. Well, I got some people, I got signs held up in the back. I got people pointing at watches. That's my son-in-law. God bless you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. They got me covered. Just preach it. Thank you, Tina. Come on, can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? So I want to talk to you about the power of life and death. It's in the tongue. I don't know if I gave this to Lisa this morning, but Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you believe this morning that the power of life and death is in your tongue? How many know you can talk yourself into something or talk yourself out of something? You can talk yourself full of faith or you can talk yourself in despair in a matter of time. Amen? And I think we have to be conscious and take account of our words. And one of the things even, you know, in taking account of our words, you know, is being conscious even of who's hearing your words around you. How many know the conversation that is in your home will be the conversation that is in the head of your children? Amen? And so we sometimes have to bridle. How many know there's some things that we think and some things that we say, and quite often they're not the same thing. There's some things that we as husbands and wives can talk about between ourselves, but there's some things that our children don't need to hear. Amen? And so we have a responsibility and to use the words that we have, to use the scriptures, you know, to build up and to not to tear down. You know, I've said this many, many times in here. How is it that I could say you could get 100 compliments from somebody or positive statements, and that one negative statement that you hear is the one that gets stuck in your head, right? Because we give power to words. And we take negativity sometimes over positivity. And I've learned to take, when people say something to me, I've learned to take it from the source of who it is. And, you know, sometimes I can give it weight or power, and sometimes I got to let it go. My mom would say you could let a bird fly over your head, but you don't let it have to let it build a nest in your hair. Right? There's a difference there. And if you don't have hair, you're good. You're good if you don't have hair, right? Just let it fly over. Because words have power, right? We know, we have a lot of people in here who work in the school system, who work with children, who work with that. We know the power of affirmation. Right? You know the power of words. You know it in your marriages and your relationship. You know it with your own kids. You can tell them that they'll never amount to anything. You can tell them that, you know, negative things. And how many know because of the influence you have in their life, they will believe those things to be the truth of them. And it will take many, many more voices of telling them affirmations to clear out the garbage that's been put in there. Amen? And so, I'm going to read here a little bit before I preach my message. It's still only 25 to 8. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. How many know we're not fighting flesh and blood today? My enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not the person who drove too slow on the interstate and I couldn't get around them. It's not my next door neighbor. It's not the person in the grocery line that's talking and won't get out of the way. Those are not your enemies. Amen. Though, for we walk, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the strongholds? Casting down imaginations. Imagine that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Your enemy is anything that exalts itself over the promises of God that the Word says is true, because His Word is yes and amen. So anything, any thoughts, any high places, any imaginations outside of what's true of you and God is an enemy. Amen? Our carnal mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many know having our thoughts in the obedience of what Christ did on the cross is bringing every thought captive? Amen? It doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, there goes a thought, and there goes a thought, and there goes a thought. It's no. My mind is a prisoner. My mind is held captivated by the goodness of God and the work of the cross, of what He's already done for me and what I can step into through grace and faith. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, His obedience on the cross, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 validates me for talking to myself. And be not drunk with wine wherein is access, but be filled with the Spirit. Can I just say, if you are filled with the Spirit, you cannot be filled with fear. You cannot be filled with doubt. You cannot be filled with despair. You're going to be filled with something. I suggest being filled with the Spirit. What? Speaking to yourselves. And somebody say amen. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, a thankful heart for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or reverence of God. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you know that you cannot whine and worship at the same time? Right? You can't pout and praise at the same time. You got to choose. And so often we find ourselves murmuring. How many know when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, they murmured. And when they murmured, what happened? It brought snakes among them. Their murmuring in the wilderness is what kept them for 40 years. They could have walked into their promised land way ahead of when they did, but because of their murmuring and because of the confessions of their mouth, they spent 40 years in a wilderness wandering around a mountain that God never intended for them to do. Amen. I wonder sometimes how long we delay the promise of God by the confession of our mouth instead of the obedience by faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. This looks big. This looks big. And I don't know how to get from here to there, but I'm going to trust you. Because if you said it, you will do it. Hallelujah. And I've learned to find rest in the fact that if God spoke it, I always think, well, God has spoken this, and now what am I going to have to do to make this happen? And so I get weary and worn out myself sometimes trying to make something happen that God already spoke. It's going to come to pass, and it's going to happen. And the more that we learn to rest in Him and trust the process of what He's doing, the more that we see the favor of God. How many of you can say that you can see the favor of God in your past to bring you to where you are? See, I look back under people that I served with as bosses or administrators and things like that, and I always, always learned something. I either learned what to do, or I learned what not to do. Amen? And as a leader, you can always learn something. And in every step of the journey, you say, okay, God, I see why you had me there. But we don't always see why He has us here and where He's going there. Amen? We have much better vision of hindsight sometimes than we do trusting God in the future and where he wants to bring us. So Judges 15, and this is probably going to seem a little bit odd to you this morning, but I hope I can bring it in the concept of next level thinking, next level understanding of what God wants to do in us, and how sometimes that he will bring that to pass. Judges 15, 9 through 20 in the NIV, and we've already talked about Samson somewhat in our series of Next Level. Amen? And so this scripture talks about, and Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The people of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us? We've come to take Samson prisoner." Samson had just caused a whole lot of chaos in their camp, and they answered, "To do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men from Judah, his people, went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." They said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed," they answered, "we will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, "The Spirit of the Lord." Everybody say, "The Spirit of the Lord." How many know that's a different spirit than Samson was in probably earlier? "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone," everybody say jawbone, "I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With the donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramah Lehi because he was very thirsty. He cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived. So the spring was called En Hakkor, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Reading of Joshua 15. Here we have Samson. We know that he's a great, mighty, strong man, right? That God anointed him from the womb, spoke to his parents, "I'm going to give you a mighty man. No razor is going to come to his head. No wine or strong drink." And we know the strength in the story of Samson. Amen? We talked about Samson already. What struck me in this portion of scripture is that Samson, when the Philistines were coming upon him, let's say it like this, when the enemy come after Samson, he defeated him with a jawbone. Everybody say amen to that, right? That's what the word says. What if we take that in New Covenant, modern day preaching and understanding, that when the enemy would come in like a flood, how many know this, the scripture says when enemy would come in like the flood, the Spirit of God would raise up a standard against him. Amen? And we said before, the enemy is not always the devil that's fighting you. How many know sometimes it's negativity and it's fear and it's doubt, it's discouragement, it's depression, it's sickness, it's all of those kind of things that are an enemy. But what happened is when the enemy came in towards Samson, he used his jaw, he used a jawbone to defeat the enemy. What if we understood the power of life that's really in the tongue, and when the enemy comes in, we're not looking for carnal weapons, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. How many know when I think of jawbone, I think about the mouth? I think about our speech. I think about the power of life and death that is in the tongue. How many know we're not fighting with jawbones in the natural today, but we are fighting with the jawbone of our mouth. Not trying to call anybody donkeys in here today, but how many know if God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through you, and He will bring about, how many know it's the power that's in the tongue, it's the power that's in the jaw, it's the ability to speak and understand. How many know Samson had a destiny? He had a calling. He made some dumb decisions. He was strong in body. How many know he was not always strong-minded? He made some mistakes. He made some decisions. But how many can in here can know and understand that the calling of God never changed in Samson's life? See, we're willing to throw people away when they make mistakes. But if we understand that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, that God can take your brokenness and He can take your mind and He can take your mouth, He can take your jawbone and defeat your enemies. It goes back to what we said before. We talk ourselves into stuff, and we talk ourselves out of stuff. Man, if you ever have a dream, if you ever have a vision, if you ever have something in your heart that you feel like God has put there, be careful who you share your dreams with. Be careful who you share them with, because, you know, you go to mom, mom says, well, I don't know. I don't know if you can fund that. Or you go to dad, and dad says, well, that means you'd have to move. And you go to this one and says, are you sure that that's really what you want to do? And we go to the next one, and before we know it, we've let people talk us out of what God's placed in our heart. Instead of saying, if God put that vision in your heart, He will bring it to pass. Just a quick story, and I can tell this morning because Dan's not here, but and he has a flip phone. He's not watching online, I promise you. I'll preach it to him when I get home. Our daughter Morgan was going to college, and she decided that she wanted to go in journalism. She majored in journalism, went to Marshall University, majored in journalism, go Herd. And my husband said to her, you do realize that written journalism is going out, printed journalism, everything's going online. It's funny, isn't it? He said to flip phone, he says, it's going online. Yeah, and he said, are you sure, you know, that this is what you want to do? Because, you know, and she's like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And she did a little bit of journalism with Martinsburg Journal at one point or whatever. When she came out of college, she was offered a job at Duke University writing editing medical manuscripts for Duke University. She now is in a different department, and she writes case studies. When they have a case study on cochlear implants or if they have a new heart procedure, she writes those stories. And so we could have talked her out of that and said, that's not for you. Or we could trust God to say, if you put it in her heart, you know, as mom and dad, we're just kind of looking out for, you know, if we're going to pay for 4 years of college, we want to at least be productive at the end of it, right? You know, we want those things. But how quickly do we talk ourselves out of things and not seeing the end from the beginning, but what God put in her heart? Amen. To purpose. And what He did through that, when COVID hit, she was able to work out at home, and then able to work out of their church, which is like 10 minutes from there. She now works for Duke University at Trailhead Church and is able to help function in the church as well as get, you know, work for Duke University. And God has opened this whole big thing. Did we see any of that coming? No, we didn't. And I'm not saying that in any way to boast that, but what I'm saying is we see this. We have such horizontal vision. until we become vertical in our vision and realize that God has greater callings. And as I said before, to me it didn't make sense, but to the next generation, they know where they're going and they know what God has put in their heart. And the best thing we can do is do everything within our power to say, if God spoke it to you, baby, He's going to take you to the next level of what He wants to do. Speak it, declare it, and cause it to come to pass. By the power of our jawbone, our enemy is defeated. Amen. You know what happens? Samson throws that jawbone away. And then he says, well, dear God, are you going to let me die of thirst out here in the wilderness now? He just killed all the Philistines. And a cup of water is going to take him down. Like, really? A cup of water is going to take you down? You know what happened? He started to complain. Dear God, you left me out here. I'm parched and I'm thirsty, and now I'm going to die of thirst. Isn't that our mindset sometimes? God, man, you are victorious over my enemy. With the jawbone, you wiped him out. You have given me victory. And tomorrow, Monday morning hits, and we're like, oh, I need a drink of water so bad. Because what happened? A change. What we spoke became different than what was our reality. Amen. What does God do? He opens the rock and He gives him water. I mean, the God that can defeat your enemies is the God who can give you a drink of water. Amen. But how often do we forget the goodness of God, the favor of God, and we confess things that are not true of us? I'm broke. No, you're not. I'm discouraged. No, you're not. I'm in despair. No, you're not. That may be what you're feeling right now, but what's true of you is what God says is true of you. I'm in a dark place, but you're light. You are light. I'm thirsty. Let everyone who's thirsty come to me and drink, right? And so it may seem what is reality, but it's not what's true of you. Because when you begin to say what the Word said is true of you, you cannot live any longer in that place. Amen? And so with the jawbone, with the words of our mouth, we declare that the enemy has no authority in our place. Can you say that this morning? The enemy has no authority in my life. Not in my situations, not in my circumstances. He defeated his enemy with a jawbone, and so can you. We talked about Gideon before. How many know Gideon's enemy pronounced their own destruction? Remember that? When Gideon is still trying to figure out if God's really serious, he reduces him from tens of thousands to men. He brings him clear down to 300. God's got a sense of humor, right? Clear down to 300. Then he gives him a trumpet. I never even figured out how to blow a trumpet. You know, you had to go band in school. You had to practice. I couldn't even blow the trumpet. I could blow a clarinet, but I couldn't blow a trumpet. He gives him a trumpet, a pitcher, or a vessel, and a light. How many know all of those will preach? And I don't have time to preach that this morning because it's 25 to 8. So he gives them those things. And he's going to send him in to fight the Midianites with a pitcher and a light and a trumpet. What kind of God is this? And he says, Gideon, if you're still not sure, I want you to go up. And I want you to sit on the outskirts of the Midianite camp, and I want you to just listen. You know what I had him listen to? What the enemy is saying about you. See, we're all the time listening to the enemy, and we think the devil's on our tail. No, you know what the enemy said? He said, I had a dream. There was a loaf of bread rolled into the camp of the Midianites. And everybody around him said, I know what that means. That's nothing but the sword of Gideon, and we've been defeated. How many know Gideon had confidence to go in and fight because he heard what the enemy was saying about him. Come on, somebody. Your jawbone has power. And when you begin to use your mouth to declare that the enemy is talking about you, don't mess with her. Don't mess with him. Come on, somebody. The enemy announced he knew Gideon's name. And he knew he was defeated. Can I tell you this morning, the enemy knows your name and he knows you're defeated. But if you ever find out your identity in Christ, you will understand the power of the victory that he's already given you. Mom would say you could take hell with a water pistol. A healthy spirit, Proverbs 18, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. A gift gets attention. It buys the attention of eminent people. The first speech in a court case is always convincing until the cross-examination starts. You may have to draw straws when faced with a tough decision. Do a favor and win a friend forever. Nothing can untie that bond. Words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words kill. Words give life. You choose. The power of life and death in the tongue. And I'm not saying that we ignore reality. You know, just because I say I'm not sick doesn't necessarily mean I'm not sick. But I can quote the word of myself that says, by his stripes we're healed. That my hope is in Christ alone. And that healing is the children's bread. And that the word of God is yes and amen to them believe. How many know I can quote the word of God over myself? And what I'm doing is using my jawbone to declare what's true of me instead of what seems to be my current reality. Amen? How many know with the mouth you can speak? You can speak. You can eat. You can drink. You can pray. All of those. Jawbone, right? What we eat matters. Jesus sat down with his disciples and said, this is my body, which was broken for you. Eat. This is my blood that was shed for you. Drink. How many know what we eat and what we drink, what we feed on, matters as to who we become? When we feed on the bread of life, when we feed on the lamb, when we feed on the blood of Jesus and all of those things, when we break bread together, how many know we are feeding ourselves today with the word? What we eat matters. What we drink matters. And the power of prayer. How many believe in the power of prayer in here? Amen. I sat in my room this morning, drinking my coffee and praying. And you know what I did? I just started praying. I started praying for leaders. I started praying for governments. I started praying for schools. I started praying for them. I said, Lord, send people to lead them to Jesus. Send people to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Send people to bring your goodness into a culture that needs Jesus. Amen. How many know our nation has a heart issue? But when the heart is right before God, how many know other things fall into place? And so I begin to pray, and I begin to seek God, and I begin to declare what his word says is true. Amen? But how many know it takes somebody speaking? How many had somebody talk to you about Jesus? And that's how you found Jesus. Two of you? Three, four? The rest of you just fell in his lap, right? You just, you know. How many know normally it starts out with somebody telling you about Jesus? What does that mean? What is it? Salvation. Tell me about your salvation. Tell me how you found Jesus. Tell me what he's doing in your life. Tell me what's good about him. Tell me what's right. Amen? My mom started to tell me about Jesus. I didn't know who Jesus was, and I didn't even know what he could do, but because she told me, I had confidence in her words, and I got down off of the table where I was sitting, and I went into the couch, and I kneeled down, and I gave my heart to Jesus. At a young age, like one of them children that walk back through there. Why? Because somebody used their jawbone against the enemy of our house and the enemy that could have robbed us of who we were. But somebody spoke life instead of death, and I found Jesus at a young age. Amen? The power of life and death to speak, our witness. How many people are we witnessing to? How many people are we telling of the goodness of God? How many are we sharing our testimony with? If God has done something good for you, tell somebody. Right? Tell somebody. Matthew 15 says, 10 through 11 says, and he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. How many know it's not so much what you take in, it's what you spew out, right? Soft answer turneth away wrath. Communication. How many know words hurt? When I do counseling, I counsel young couples. Be careful what you say to one another, because you don't get to take that back. And sometimes in a moment, in anger, in the heat of the moment, we say things and we can't take those things back, right? But a soft answer would turn away wrath. Proverbs 16 says, pleasant words are as in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Mark 11, 23 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I mean, he's talking about the mountain of the law at this point. Whoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. How many know you got to speak it, pray, believe, and receive all that God has for you? The tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Who was it that said the power of the pen? Right? The power of the writer, the power of a pen. Bishop Huskins preached a sermon one time and said the Tao is mightier than the sword. They've been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. Isaiah 55:11 says, for as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The words that he speaks will not return void. So what does that mean, Pastor Lisa? How do I speak? How do I use my jawbone? How do I use my mouth? How do I use that to defeat the enemy? Well, we say what Jesus said, right? We speak what he spoke. The scripture says he spoke only what the Father spoke. How much of the words that come out of our mouth, you know, the scripture talks about having vain communications. You know what that speaks of? Double-minded, being double-minded. One day we're up, one day we're down. Why? Because we talk ourselves up or we talk ourselves down sometimes. What did Jesus say? He said things like, your sins are forgiven thee. He said things like, take up your bed and walk. Your bed of impotency. He said it to the impotent man. Impotency, unproductivity, your bed of comfort. Pick it up. Don't go back. I believe the reason that Jesus said that to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. He could have just said, rise and walk. And he wouldn't have got himself in trouble with the Pharisees because he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. But what happens if we, when we get up and God raises us up out of that place of unfruitfulness, and if we're not careful, we'll go back to that bed of comfort instead of going on to what Jesus has said for us. He said, rise, take up that bed, that place of comfort, and walk out of this place. Put one foot in front of the other and walk and receive your healing. Take up your bed and walk. He said things like, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Spoken word, power of the jawbone. Woman, thou art loosed from the spirit of infirmity. Those were the things he said. Go in peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater things than these shall you do. Do you believe that? Greater things. Higher things. I think, you know, about Jesus when he was in this earth, touched a region. Do you know that within seconds, we can reach people all around the world? Greater outreach, greater direction, greater things than these shall you do. He said to the little girl who everybody thought was dead, he said, Talitha Kumai, means, in one translation says, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Because while there was a woman with issues trying to get healed and to reach out and to touch Jesus, the next generation, she had been bleeding for 12 years. The little girl who was dying was 12 years old. And while she's in a position where it looks like she's dying, Jesus is being delayed by a woman who has issues. But you know what Jesus does? He grabs a hold of both generations. And he heals them and brings them together. And when he gets to the house, they said, don't trouble the master anymore because it's too late. Your little girl is dead. How many know that's been pronounced over this generation and over the next generation? This generation, man, do you know every generation pronounces that over the next generation? Do you know that your parents and grandparents said that about you guys? And so when he goes to the house and he goes in and they're all weeping and mourning over what they think is true of this little girl, Jesus takes a couple of the disciples and he goes in and he said, shut the door. Shut the door to all the chaos that's out there. And when he goes into the girl, he says, Talitha Kumai, little girl, get up. And when he says that, she does. I want to tell you what looks like death sometimes is a generation that's sleeping that needs somebody to go into them and say to them, get up. Get up. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. There's more for you. This is not death. This is not the end. It's just the beginning of who you're about to become. I heard something the other day. It was beautiful, and I'm going to do a sermon on it, but I'll just throw it out here real quick. But did you ever think about that when Jesus was among the multitude and all the children were coming, and the disciples wanted to prohibit them from coming, and they were going to hold them back, right? And Jesus said, no, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This is what the kingdom looks like. When little children want nothing more to crawl up into the lap of Jesus and feel the embrace of a Jesus who loves them, who does not reject them, who does not rebuke them, but holds them in his arms and holds them in their lap. And here's the thought that I had. Man, wouldn't you want to know where those kids are? Wouldn't you want to know who those kids are? Because I want to tell you, if Jesus ever embraces you like that, you will never be the same. There's something about the embrace of Jesus that when he welcomes you in and holds you and embraces you, that you realize you will never be the same. Stand to your feet with me this morning. The tongue, the mouth, the jawbone, it can uplift, it can motivate, inspire, heal, encourage, give hope and optimism. It can also tear down, it can breed fear, doubt, defeat, discouragement. Job 22 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." I had a couple more things to share, but I'm going to stop there. I'll save it for next week. Come back for part 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever that is, of this series. Hallelujah. But I believe God wants to raise some people up that know that the power of the Word of God in our life. Amen. I challenge you to read the Word, to know the Word, to get it in your mind, to get it in your heart. Because you cannot withdraw on what you have not deposited. Amen? If you go to the bank and take out cash, but you didn't put anything in there, they're not giving it to you. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in situations and circumstances where I didn't have my Bible, I didn't have my phone, I didn't have my laptop, but I needed to know the Word. And I need to be able to speak the Word. I want to tell you, there are so many ways you can get. Don't waste time in your car when you can put on the Bible app and it'll read to you. I'm washing dishes the other day. I said, "Hey, Alexa." Daniel said, "What's her name again?" "Hey, Alexa, read me Joshua 15. Read me Judges 15. I'm washing dishes. And the Word is speaking to me. Alexa, find me some scriptures on hope. You know what she does? She goes, gets me some scriptures on hope.
You're finding scriptures on my
own. What?
My tablet, sorry.
Hey, Alexa. Pray over these people in Jesus' name.
Yeah, say something else.
Maybe it's Siri at your house. Maybe it's something, I don't know. You find yourself not wanting to be rude to them when they're doing, you know, like, "No, Alexa, that's not what I wanted. Stop. Just stop." Yeah, or they say, "Thank you. Thank you, Alexa." And then when I get done with that, and while I'm doing laundry, I'm like, "Alexa, play some Maverick City." Sorry. Do I got to put
"You're
saying
good.
It? Sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Play me some Tasha Cobbs. Play me some worship music. Because I need to have my mind in the frame of what you want to say to me today. Come on, somebody. We are too advanced, too much in the age of intelligence and technology to allow ourselves to be brought down to hear when God wants to take us to hear. Hallelujah. And the more you speak it to yourself, the more you will have confidence to speak it over somebody else and to be the light in a dark place and be the healing balm that somebody needs. Amen. Amen. As Beth is playing and singing, I just want to open the altar this morning. Whether you're online or you're in the house, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never encountered Him, if He's never held you in your arms as a child and embraced you, man, I invite you today to come and receive Jesus. If you have a need, if you're broken, if you're hurting, We want to pour the life of Jesus into you. We want to tell you what's true of you. We want to tell you that God is your healer and your Savior, and that everything that you need, He has available. As Beth is singing, if anybody wants to come forward for prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you in Jesus' name.